Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, ways to understand our connections to souls long past, miracles, and ways to remember your true self. I am most delighted to welcome Clementina Marie Giovannetti, author of Jesus and a Roman Centurion, who will offer a view, among other things, of her past life discovery and life 2,000 years ago. Hello, Clementina, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much.
Clementina, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I search our inner soul remembrances and experiences with energy, divine spiritual awareness, and truth to learn more about the human and spiritual connection and ways to move forward, refining our essence and loving life more compassionately in all its multidimensional potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Clementina, who is a visionary and spiritual teacher and dream interpreter, who has spent the past 40 years on national radio and TV shows, including Larry King Live and Jenny Jones NBC, has shared her love of spirit and what they wish us to know as we evolve to higher consciousness. Today we will discuss her awareness of a life she lived or was connected to 2,000 years ago, and how that insight can help us now at the tipping point of change as we move past thousands of years of third-dimensional living to a great leap of faith and heightened perception to our higher life as spiritual beings having a physical life in order to know the truth of life as it really could be. Clementina, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, or event that might have shown them the interests, work, and lifestyle they might have as an adult, for I believe the plan and destiny of the soul is right there with us at the beginning. So think back for a minute.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's my awareness of being a spiritual being began at a very young age, as early as 2-3 years of age. And at nighttime, when mom and dad would tell me to go to bed, I couldn't wait to go to bed, unlike most children, because I discovered that when my body fell asleep, Cheryl, that there was a second me, there was another me, a spiritual me, like a ghost-like energy that was able to actually release itself from my physical form and be able to enter within the spiritual realm. And to me, having this duality that there was the physical me when I would return to my body and enter within the third dimension and go about humanistic stuff, but then to have the opportunity to literally release myself from that human personality and human way of life, and to just go back and be soul was quite just exhilarating. It was just providing me with so much freedom. But I didn't realize that now in my 60s, after all of these years, that what I was doing as a child wasn't quite normal, or at least being aware of it.
Well,
or accepting
I think it is normal, because I think we all have a spiritual soul essence energy life, a duality in between our physical life. I very much like you was aware at a young age that there were energies around me, something else at the window, and I was frightened by it. And I remember at 3 years old lying on the ground being upset with some of the behavior that I would see from other people that I couldn't understand, because I had a deeper heart energy or purpose in life, and they were acting, how can I say, less than divine. And I looked up and I was crying and I said, "Why did you drop me here?" So I didn't know who I was talking to or what it was all about, but I think it's very natural for children to be aware of this sensitivity or connection to spiritual energy and their inner soul energy. It's just nobody helps them put it together. And so they struggle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And my mom and dad were Roman Catholics. And so when I would go to them and, you know, at the breakfast table and talk about what I did the night before, where I went the night before, they were just so clueless. They were quite terrified, really, of the stories that I was telling them. There was a real disconnect, and we were definitely living, you know, under one household, one roof, but we were definitely living on completely different levels of dimension.
And I felt that to some degree, even though my childhood was not quite as challenging as yours, because your parents were very dysfunctional and alcoholics, as you and abusive, as you described in the book. It made me actually physically cry, because I know there are many more families like that than I would like to know about, because I would like families to be loving and supportive of their children, no matter what their children need. And so it was very hurtful to me to read that. But that is the truth, that we're put in families sometimes that are very different from us, so we can grow into our divine potential. But it's hard. It's hard for many of us. So let's go on to, you write in Jesus and a Roman Centurion that you never dreamed you would be writing about a former lifetime that occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, and then share it with the world, because you didn't find much comfort from sharing your stories with your parents. So you probably felt like I do, that sometimes sharing things with people who are not ready to hear it will just be harmful to us. So sometimes we don't want to share these wonderful things. But you did find that time can and does heal our past wounds and give us the opportunity to release our fears. So tell us now about your actual past life regression. You are brave enough to share it.
I finally decided to do it, despite any type of criticism or judgment that I might get, because to come out in public, you know, and both radio shows, but in a published book, and say that you met Jesus 2,000 years ago and that you looked into his eyes is not something necessarily, you know, that everybody does, right?
Right.
You know, especially if you're not referred to as a Christian, which I'm not, and so forth. I'm not part of the religious indoctrination. So for me to stand on a stage globally and say, yeah, I knew Jesus, I looked into his eyes 2,000 years ago, and to be able to describe him. And I also went to the next step, was to add a link in the book to the actual audio cassette and MP3 of the past life regression, because I didn't know if other people ever had gone through a past life regression before, or what they're, and I didn't want them to have a fear about it, because for me it was such a profound awakening. It really helped me to connect all the dots to why I am who I am today, and I have the gifts and abilities that I do today as a healer and a spiritual teacher. And the past life regression showed it to me where I was, the beginning of this, really, where I was seated with this, when I was spiritually awakened, when in fact I did meet Jesus 2,000 years ago. So I wanted other people to kind of have my own experience first, this way that they could go, oh, and they could see the benefits of why, in fact, if they wish to proceed forward and have their own regression.
Well, I know many people who have had past life regressions and hypnotherapists who work with it. And sometimes they're people are able to have a healing because they recognize that the problem they're dealing with and the health issue they're dealing with came from another time and place. And in this time and place, they don't have to have it any longer, and they can release and let go of it. So I'm very aware of it. I'm sure many of our listeners today are very aware of past life regressions and how they can help a person. But you know what? In this life, I've chosen not to focus too much on that, but to focus on what we're here to do now. I'm also a Reiki energy healer like you, and a medium. And I loved your book. It was so forthright and honest and descriptive and truthful. And I liked where you described where, as the Roman centurion, you were approaching the village and you felt a strange force pulling you to the center of the town. And that's where you located the child, who was only 2 years old. And you had been sent to find him, and you knew ultimately he would be hurt if you reported back and told the authorities where he was. But when you looked in his eyes, you wrote this: "I believe they were blue, but because they admitted such a powerful presence and brilliant light, I was unable to truly see them. He wasn't expressing any particular emotion on his face, nor did he smile. His overall presence simply exuded a gentle confidence and state of knowing. I instinctively knew that he was not of this world. Although human in nature, he did not possess the mind, consciousness, or spiritual presence of a human child." So it was his divine essence that you, as a centurion, felt and observed. And we all have that within us, only he was most purely that at that young age. So I think it's beautiful how you described it. Now, Clementina, I always have great synchronicity with my guests, and I wish to tell you that your nickname, Cookie, that you used in the book, is my most loving way to address my grandchildren as Cookie Girls or Cookie Boys, although my son doesn't appreciate Cookie Boys too much. So we also have another synchronicity. When my daughter was pregnant, she asked me to tell her what the child should call me after the child was born. And it took me many months, and all of a sudden I said to her one day, "They can call me Grandmama." And long after my first granddaughter was born, one of my Reiki students brought me a book, Anna, Woman of Miracles, which is the story of Anne, mother of the Blessed Mary and grandmother of Jesus. And Anne led a remarkable life. She had three husbands, three daughters, all named Mary, and a profound healing ability. She also had a lifelong relationship with a Roman centurion known as Julian. And his greatest wish, though he knew he couldn't marry her because she was Jewish and had a family already, was to protect her. And when Jesus was born and they were killing all the firstborn Jewish males, as they feared a Messiah was going to lead them to freedom, Julian was the one who helped Mary and Anne take the baby out of the city. Now, many years passed, and this is from the book that I read. Julian came to find Anne and Jesus, and he was now 17 years old. And he told Julian to wait in the garden, as his grandmama would soon be home. So somewhere in the soul, it remembers past lives and past times, and those connections come up to help us awaken to our destiny and our life as it is now. So you had a centurion? You were a centurion. And perhaps I knew a centurion earlier, 2 years before, who helped Jesus. So it's quite an interesting way of sharing our stories together and our connections throughout all time and space. So let's go on to, you talk about human illusions because your soul in this lifetime chose a girl's body, and you feel its mere presence by others was automatically perceived as a worthless object. This is another thing that also made me cry in reading your story, how hurtful it was. So tell us something about that.
Well, since birth, I've had the gift of sight and have been able to see through what I call the earthly illusions. So one of the examples I shared was about our gender. And I chose to reincarnate in a female body this lifetime. And between the centurion lifetime and this temporary lifetime, there is quite a bit of contrast. Same soul, same consciousness, but yet the general public and my parents, up from the get-go, I mean, literally from the moment I took my first breath, I was so falsely just judged because I was just a girl. And they never had the ability to look into my eyes like I looked into Jesus's eyes and to be able to see my soul, to identify me as a soul and my history. And that's just a real, again, a disconnect in our day-to-day forms of behavior, you know, the human paradigm. People really just don't get that opportunity. They just aren't aware to look into somebody's eyes and to realize that there's a history here. This isn't their first incarnation, their first life, and we're neither man nor woman. We're neither white skin or black skin or Democrat or Republican. So those are the illusions. We're a soul. We're a consciousness who has had many, many, many lifetimes.
Absolutely. And just the old world patriarchal thinking from, unfortunately, belief systems that tried to control people and money and women and land in such an unjust system forgets, you know, the power of our divine essence or soul essence, and that we're all connected through energy. And you wrote in reference to that, I was beginning to realize that my parents were not the only humans who had forgotten their divine origin and who and what they really were, soul, that many of them, like my parents, had fallen asleep and entered within an alternative reality void of all light, which ultimately transformed them into a mere illusion. How in God's name did they allow themselves to become what they are? Why had they forgotten who and what they really are? Don't they remember the light at all, or where they had originated from? Why don't they awaken themselves and remember? How can they continue to live in darkness? Why are they so concerned about money, sex, alcohol, and other worldly things, and accept their barbaric ways of life as normal? And that's why at 3 years old I was lying on the grass looking up and crying and asking why I was dropped here, because every part of me felt the different vibration of many people who lived in such fear, and I couldn't put the pieces together how to make it better. I did try. I always tried to make people laugh and be happy, but they just resisted in so many ways. So even though my own childhood was lived in a Brooklyn community, not nearly as terrifying as yours in Chicago, in some of the areas and, that you had to grow up with, I still found the behavior of many people to be questionable and unloving. So let's go on to describe the details of when the white light came upon you. You were in Texas, you went to a horse ranch, or you were in the barn, and you were aware that there was something else that you were born to do and learn and be part of, besides some of the spiritual gifts you were already using. And what happened in that barn?
Well, my gift of healing awakened, which I really believed from my regression that I was seated with 2,000 years ago, that Jesus, in fact, anointed me 2,000 years ago with that gift of healing. And for whatever reason, it needed 2,000 years of soul's evolution before it could actually, you know, manifest and express itself through human form. And I was just taking a day off, I guess you would say, and scheduled myself to go to a horse facility, was thinking of taking some horseback riding lessons. And the moment I walked into the barn, the horses began communicating to me, which was a new experience. I've been, you know, intuitive and psychic since I was born, but I can't really say that I'd experienced a great amount of animal communication. And they were all reaching out and trying to talk to me. And as that was occurring, all of a sudden, this circular, like almost white laser, very brilliant light through the roof of the barn just came over me. And within the white light, there was an angelic voice, and it said, "Will you help her?" And it was referring to a horse that was kept separated from all the other horses on the far end of the barn. And the horse had been seriously abused by its owners, almost beaten to death, and it had sustained a very large, deep hole on the right side of its head. And the veterinarians weren't even able to treat it. The horse would just kick up and bite and kick, so they wouldn't let anybody near it. And I said, "Yes, but how?" And the light just said, "Just walk into the light." And the light actually traveled. It was actually from where I was, maybe 20 feet, 25 feet away from the horse. The circular dome over me, like I was in a spotlight, just actually proceeded to move toward the horse. And I just stayed within the light. I was walking in the light. And I opened up the latch, and the horse was very gentle. It actually gently just walked back to allow me and provide me with enough space to come into the stall. And during that time, I was also on fire. My hands felt as if there was like an electrocution going on. I could also hear like an angelic choir that I was almost like just surrounded by, like everybody was singing. It was magnificent. And I raised my left hand onto the horse and placed it where the hole was at. And I mean, it was instantaneously. There was absolutely no delay at all. It was like an explosion occurred. And all the pus, it just opened up. It like erupted, and all that skin was coming off. And literally within, I don't know how long exactly, because I was definitely into an altered state. I was definitely not of the earth when this was going on. So I don't really know exactly how long it took. But the man, the owner of the training facility, was standing right outside, not even having a clue what was taking place in his barn. Mm-hmm. And he watched me laying hands on this horse. And literally within minutes, after all the pus and all these other things were releasing itself from this hole, the cells literally were creating brand new cells, and the hole was literally repairing itself. It was just, I mean, I definitely give credit to God and Jesus.
Of course,
I mean,
yes.
No doubt it was a miracle.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a miracle.
There are many, many miracles every day, and people are just not open to seeing it. I'm a Reiki intuitive. I work with the energy. I have been in the state that you just described so beautifully, and I feel the energy course through my body to other people, and they become so reverent, peaceful, and so clear about their own decisions as a result. It's not me doing it. I'm just part of the environment to set up their connection to spirit and the divine so that they can remember themselves. Like we talked about earlier, so many people being unawakened, unaware. Once you've had a healing experience like this, you are awakened. Maybe not totally, because you will fall back and maybe, you know, chalk it up to whatever through fear or just feeling that it's too private to even share with anyone else, but you and I are sharing it. And I must tell you, I was guided to become a Reiki master teacher and teach others. Guided. I resisted. I said, "I don't think so. I don't think I was born to do this." But every time I resisted, within a short time, I did it because it just seemed right. And when I had my second Reiki attunement training, I felt myself being lifted up in the hands of Jesus. And being lifted up, I said, "And what is this?" You know, it comes sometimes to some people in pieces because it might be too overwhelming and frighten them if it's too rapid. So you also received your healing gifts a little later in life, as did I. We were working with other issues, human issues, and also spiritual talents. But as I say, for those who know, no proof is required. They have had the experience, and they are so grateful to be part of this beautiful energy of love and compassion from the guides, teachers, loved ones, and angels, and God himself in spirit. But let's go on to, you describe mankind's future in a vision that you might share of what could possibly be coming. So what would you like to say about mankind's future?
Well, everyone has free will and free choice. And as far as if they want to awaken themselves, or if they prefer just to stay what I refer to as being spiritually asleep, it's kind of like a temporary spiritual amnesia about their own soul's consciousness, and they just want to continue to just, you know, obsess themselves within the matrix, the artificial man-made reality. So depending on whatever they choose, I don't know, you know, who's in charge of the evolution of human consciousness on Earth. But I've had many, many, many prophetic visions over the last 25 years, and I shared one of them in the book. And to just shorten it, basically, something caused a very violent reverberation on the Earth. I don't know if it was a meteor or a nuclear war. I really don't know. But I was knocked unconscious for 2 days. And when I awakened from that reverberation, the most important thing that I immediately experienced was a deafening stillness. There was total stillness. And the grid was definitely turned off. Everything had been turned off. And unfortunately, my immediate neighbors did not make it through that intense reverberation. So will there be, I believe that there'll be some kind of shift that will occur. But other than that, and it's interesting to me, maybe I was just shown repeated prophetic visions of the future just to kind of make me aware, by the way, if and when something like this does occur, you know, it is my destiny. I signed it in the contract, but I forgot that I'm going to make it through that transition, you know.
Well,
And who knows?
Yeah. Well, you will make it through. And I trust we'll all be in the right place. I want to thank you, Clementina Marie Giovannetti, author of Jesus and a Roman Centurion, which shares your love and dedication to use your spiritual gifts of clairvoyance, dream interpretations, and past life awareness in the hopes of helping others know the gift of life as souls living a physical life in order to remember their divine connection. To learn more and to purchase this book, go to spiritualwisdomtv.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, you have heard one woman's story of living in the darkness of their family's unconscionable beliefs, behaviors, and negativity, and how she found her way into light and love and learned about her soul nature and the beauty of spirit. Her story is more prevalent throughout the world than many would like to imagine or believe, but when we awaken to the truth of our being, we just may create a world that is beyond these third-dimensional horrors of separation, anger, greed, prejudice, and pure evil. And Clementina wrote, "Stop and talk with anyone today, and you will often discover that most people who complain about life and the world in general and how awful things have become are the very individuals who have not come into conscious realization that it is their own belief system and actions that have created the world. Prior to the arrival of human beings on Earth, life in general was a blank canvas, and from the moment that man arrived, he could have created anything. He alone possesses free will and choice and the ability to create an external life, one that will only mirror back to him an accurate reflection of the very essence of his own soul, consciousness, thoughts, and belief system. Life on Earth as we experience it today has only been created by man." Clementina and I would ask you to read some of the past religious statements in chapter 30 of her book and see how painful it is to see that such thoughts and words ever came from religious followers. The truth is, in spirit and soul essence, we are all part of the divine, and the divine is within us. There is no separation or devaluation of any member of the human race, and all those thoughts and words uttered and believed have limited the true destiny of humans and only contributed to poor decisions and actions. Let us treat everyone with love, respect, and dignity as human, divine beings, and the world will be made whole again. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear the amazing journeys of leaders in the field of science, spirituality, metaphysics, healing, psychology, philosophy, and religion, and find a new, better way to improve yourself and your world community. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.